Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
We know that our series has been Trust the Process. Trust the Process. And that's really our theme for the whole year, that we are going to trust the process of God, right? And so we're going to move forward into a new series this week and for the next several weeks, and that is The Circle Maker. The Circle Maker is based on a book by Mark Batterson, not Mike Patterson, not yet. We will do this series when he comes out with his next book. But he talks about praying circles around our biggest dreams and our greatest fears in the book. And so we want to encourage you to pick up the book. You can get it on Amazon. I will give you pieces of the book, but it is worth getting to be able to study it out for yourself, the things that he shares and the stories and the scriptures that he shares in the book. The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. The book is inspired, if you want to know where the title comes from, it's inspired by a story found in the Jewish history books. An old sage named Homi. We're going to call him Mr. Homi. What's his name? Mr. Homi. Mr. Homi, yes. Mr. Homi, H-O-N-I, Homi, was a Jewish sage, and the story takes place 1st century B.C., the generation before Jesus came into the world, and Jerusalem was going through a really difficult drought, and they were at this point, if you know about the history of God's people, they were at this point where they had not heard the word of God through prophets for about 400 years because of their sin, because of how they had rebelled against God. And this Mr. Homi, although they were not hearing from God, he still believed that God would hear them. And so he continued to cry out to God, and he gained a reputation just for his prayer life. And one day, in the middle of this drought, Mr. Honey walks out beyond the city walls. He takes his staff that was about 6 foot tall, and he draws a circle around himself. Draws a circle, and he stands in the circle. Gets down on his knees, raises his hands, and cries out to God, God, please have mercy on your people. I will not leave this circle until you bring rain. And as his prayers went up, the rain started falling down. It brought chills to the people. It was thousands of people that surrounded him. And they were amazed by what God was doing in that moment. And as it started raining, it was a light drizzle. And Mr. Honey said, you know, this isn't it. And so he prayed again. He stayed in the circle. He wasn't satisfied with his sprinkle. And so he prayed again. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. And this sprinkle then turned into this, like, thunderstorm, right? It was just raining cats and dogs, and people had to run for cover. It was raining so hard. But Mr. Honey stayed in that prayer circle, and he kept on praying, and he said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain of thy favor, blessings, and graciousness. Then it calmed down, and it was like one of the beautiful sun showers where it's just consistent rain coming down upon them. And not only did it refresh them physically, but it refreshed their faith. This was a prayer that saved the whole generation. It was deemed as one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. That circle that he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol for the Jewish people. And so the legend of Pony the Circle Maker stands forever as a testament to the power of one single prayer, or three prayers,
right,
in that circle. And it changed the course of history.
Yeah.
As I hear that story, I'm reminded of one of my favorite scriptures in James chapter 5 in verse 17, where it says that Elijah, the prophet Elijah, was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. This scripture points to the prophet Elijah, and he says, listen, Elijah was a man, a human being just like you. And God worked through him to first stop the rain and then 3.5 years bring the rain back. And what the scriptures are saying is that if God can move in him like that, he can move through us as well. Amen, church?
Amen.
I believe God is still looking for people with the audacity to pray these type of prayers, these bold prayers, because bold prayers honor God,
yeah,
and God honors bold prayers.
Amen.
And that's what this series is all about. Building a faith that honors God.
Right.
A faith that fuels our prayer life, a faith that fosters a deep humility and a deep dependence on God.
Yeah.
Now, this is not about pushing a method that manipulates God, for we know that God cannot be manipulated. It's not about finding a formula that results in our will being done, which only leads to frustration. It's never as simple as A plus B equals C. So many of us, we grow up in different areas, in academics or in sports. We know if we put an effort, right, if we do A, if we do B, if we're there consistently, man, it equals C, I will get this degree. In so many areas of our life, that can be true. But in our relationship with God, God is so much greater than us.
Amen.
His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. As high as the heavens are higher than us. I mean, God, what I love about God is there's a mystery about it. If I can figure out God, I'm not going to serve him, but he'd be human just like us. But I love that I can't figure everything out. I love that there's a mystery about it. But I love the fact that he gives us enough in the scriptures. In the way he moved and the way he worked through people, that we're able to know what we need to know to put our faith in him.
Right. Amen.
Our God is so beyond our methods and our formulas. You know, prayer is first and foremost about communing with God, right? It's about building a relationship with him through the incredible honor and the privilege that we get to communicate with our God, which then connects us with him and his will.
Yep.
In a personal and intimate way,
yes, sir,
we get to talk to our Creator, y'all.
Yeah.
Do we understand the privilege and the honor that that is? And you know, that's why Jesus died.
Yeah.
That's why that veil was torn in two, that there would be no separation between us and our Father in heaven.
Amen.
Got one amen, all right.
You
know, if we're learning how to pray, there are four topics that I like to share that really help us grow in our prayer life. This is something that we can start with, especially as we're trying to learn how to talk to God. You know, sometimes we grow up and we hear people praying in all types of different ways, right? Maybe you've grown up hearing people pray in a very formal way, right? In a way that sometimes feels very rehearsed or with very big words, and it sometimes feels like a presentation or a show, or sometimes maybe you have grown up hearing people pray just very personal and heard people. You ever heard somebody call God Daddy?
Yeah.
Dad, Abba, just amazing, my God. I mean, there's a spectrum of how we grew up. And so sometimes when we're learning how to pray, we just need to know, man, what should I talk about? You know, it's like building a relationship with anybody. When you first meet them, sometimes it's just not easy to communicate with that person. And so there's four quick things, and it's an acronym for the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration. If you spend a few minutes adoring God, praising Him for who He is, talking about the characteristics of who He is. God, you are wonderful, you're amazing, you're all powerful, you're all wise. I just say over, and it really helps us to know who we are addressing. Because sometimes we can address God like we address somebody at the shopping, you know, at Publix. Somebody that's like, no.
Right.
He wants the intimate, but we also got to come with Him with reverence and awe. Yeah. So yeah. Adoration
right.
helps us put Him where He needs to be before us. Secondly, confession. Just, God, this is where I fell short. Yes, He knows. It helps in building a relationship to be open with Him about the things we have struggled with and ask Him for forgiveness for those things. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. I mean, it's so good just to make a list of things we are grateful for.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. Just even for the things that we take for granted sometimes, for breath, for our homes, for our car, whatever it may be, physical things, spiritual things.
Right.
Spending time saying thank you. And then lastly, supplication.
Yeah.
Supplication. And over the next few weeks, this is what we're going to focus on the most. This last one, supplication, which simply means the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly.
Mm-hmm.
Earnestly or humbly. The action of asking or begging. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But I want to give you the title for today's sermon, Asking for the Audacious. Asking for the Audacious. What does audacious mean? Things that require surprisingly bold risks.
Mm-hmm.
The audacious, going beyond the normal and asking for the audacious. Now, this is hard for some of us, this ask, right? To ask, to beg for anything is hard for us, right? Not to mention something that requires a bold risk. To ask for something earnestly or humbly, that's tough. It almost feels like humiliation when we have to put ourselves in a place where we are in need and we have to ask for something. Man, very vulnerable situation. So why is it so hard to ask for the audacious? Why is it so hard to ask for the audacious? Well, I'm going to give you four reasons. One, self-reliance.
Right.
It is humbling to ask for help. So most of us, we can take care of most of the things ourselves. We live in America, we live in a society, in a culture where most of the things we need, we can get.
Right.
We can figure it out. And so many of us grow up with that self-reliance as something that is preached to us. Like, you have to do it yourself. I know that's what I felt growing up. Nobody's going to do it for me. I got to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I don't know where you are. I don't know you like that. So I can't depend on somebody I don't know. Because
right.
I didn't know Him enough to trust Him. And so I settled for doing things my way.
Right?
So self-reliance.
Right.
One thing I've learned about self-reliance is that God loves us so much, He will always put us in a situation that we can't control in our
own. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We will. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
No matter how much of a self-made person you are, be put in a situation where you have to ask God for help. You have to cry out for help.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Next one is a lack of confidence. We don't ask for the audacious because we lack confidence. You know, some of us, we don't feel worthy to ask God for anything. Our sin is always before us. We are guilty souls. We lack confidence in approaching God. God, I know that Jesus died on the cross, but I'm beyond saving. Or maybe I was when I first got baptized, but I continue to sin, and there's some strongholds in my life that I continue to fall into. And I don't know if you can still forgive me for all that stuff. I don't feel forgiven. It's so hard to face God.
Yeah.
I felt that way before. It's so hard to face God when our sin is before us.
Yeah.
And so we lack that confidence. And then when we do ask, we really don't believe it.
Right.
Or we really don't hope in it. It's kind of like, well, oh God, if you can, I know it's possible. So if you can, or we know that God can do it, but does he really want to do it for us? So we ask, but we play it safe by not believing with all our heart.
Yeah.
We don't want to risk the feelings of disappointment.
Yeah.
So we'll put it out there, but we got a backup plan. It's all right. Even emotionally, it's all right. If he come through, if he don't, it's all right. I'm not really going to put my heart out there.
Okay.
Come on.
I'm not really going to step out of the boat. I'm going to stay in this boat and pray.
Yeah.
But I'm stepping out of the boat to come in. Third one is, it's easier to be vague in our prayers.
Right.
It's just easier that way. When we don't pray for anything specific, God, I just pray, God, please help me have a great day. Help me be like Jesus today, Lord. Please protect us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. And vague prayers usually result in vague results.
Yeah.
And there's no way to really know whether or not God answered our prayers. Was it a great day? Just as bad as what you did. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing you can measure. There's nothing you can say like, yeah, God did this. Like,
on,
you know, the Bible in Psalm 5, verse 3, I love that, about presenting our request to God and waiting in expectation.
Yeah.
That in the morning we present our request to God and we wait in expectation. One of the sticky notes that I have on my desk is look for beautiful surprises from God.
Yeah.
I just see where he shows up. But so much of it, if we don't pray specifically for anything, then we don't really know when he shows up. Maybe it was him. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows?
Wow.
Lastly, number four, selfish ambition.
Yeah.
Our own hearts hinder us in our prayers. Our selfish ambition gets in the way. James chapter 4, verse 2, the second part of that starts with, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure.
Amen.
God cares about our motives.
Yeah.
He does.
He does.
He cares about the things going on in our hearts. The Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so we can be doing good things, but our heart's not being the right place. We can be up here singing, and we can go through the motions, but we haven't dealt with that sin in our heart.
Yeah, right.
We can come in here and usher. We can come in here and smile at people and do it. Even go through our day and be nice, moral people, and even give to people and serve people and do our community service, but our hearts.
Yeah. Come on, angels.
God doesn't settle for the outward action or the outward appearance. He wants us to go deeper.
Yeah,
amen.
Our hearts. Where are our hearts? And so we can do good things, or we can even be asking for good things.
Yeah.
With the wrong motives. With selfish motives. Things that we're hoping will serve ourselves. So the question, well, I can't pray for what I want. You can. But why do you want those things?
Yeah.
Is it to bring glory to yourself or to God?
Yeah.
To serve yourself or others? Is it to build God's kingdom or to build yours?
Right. Yeah.
So what are you saying? I can't pray to be happy or I can't pray to have joy or pray for the things that are going to bring me joy? Yes, you can. But here's the irony about God. The things that we think will make us happy many times will leave us empty.
Yep.
Right.
I'm so glad that I don't have to depend on myself to figure out what makes me happy. I know I can go to God.
Amen.
God actually tells us that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah.
So God says that more blessed means happy. So you're happier when you give,
yeah,
not when you're constantly taking.
Yeah.
That's what brings us joy, God's way of doing things. And we know that because we see people. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and a guy just met a pilot. He said, I work in industry, and pilots are some of the most miserable people. He said, they have everything, but they're on their second or third marriage. They bought all their toys, and they're empty. They're disconnected from their families, from friends. He said, I live in this space where I'm trying to be a light to them. And we know that. I mean, if the world was so good, right, then people that have gone up and gotten all the things they wanted, they wouldn't commit suicide.
Right.
I mean, they wouldn't be miserable. They wouldn't. We see it all the time, how the mighty fall, right? And how they're not happy. I mean, we see it all the time, but God gives us a plan for true joy.
Yeah, right.
Not saying that you got to change your prayers.
Right.
Just change your heart.
Amen.
Sometimes it's just saying, okay, I have these hopes and dreams and goals, and I think God gave them to me, but now I got to change my motivation. Now I got to change that. What am I going to do with these things when they happen? Is it going to be about me, or is it going to be about God?
Amen.
Sometimes this is what I struggle with. I'm so afraid to have wrong motives that I won't pray audacious prayers. And it's not, it's like, man, should I be praying for that? Like, should I be praying for good things, amazing things to happen? Like, am I being prideful or selfish in that way? And so sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I should pray. And sometimes we call that humility, but it's really not. Really, that's the accuser, Satan, rearing his ugly head and saying, you shouldn't be asking for that. You're just trying to make it about you. Accusing us when really we don't. We want to make it about God. We just want to be used by Him. But we feel that fear of condemnation, that fear of rejection, fear of failure, all that comes up, and it's just Satan trying to convince us that God, you're not good enough. Your motives aren't right enough. God's just watching to see it. You got to be a better person before God's going to listen to you. Right. I mean, it's just when the whole time we're walking in the light and we're saved by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Right. Saved. Jesus addresses many of these challenges when he taught his own disciples to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. This is the condensed version of the Lord's Prayer. All of our athletes know this prayer. This is where it came from. You can probably say it by heart if I ask you to. But Luke 11, verse 1, let's see what Jesus says. Just one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So here we see Jesus was praying. His disciples saw him praying, and sometimes they wouldn't, because in Mark 1:35, it talks about how he would often go to a solitary place to pray. He'd wake up, and Jesus would be gone.
Right.
Oh, he went to pray. He'd wake up before everybody else while it was still dark. So if we want to imitate Jesus, we can start there.
Yeah.
And here they see Jesus. They wait till he's done. They say, I want to pray like you, Jesus. Man, wouldn't that be awesome if our children said, Mommy and Daddy, can you teach me to pray like, I want to pray like, I see how devoted, I see how, like, you're always praying. Like, if the people around us, the people we mentor and disciple, that would be something they want to imitate in us.
Yeah.
Our dependence and our humility, that's what shows, right? Dependence and humility in God.
Yeah,
wow.
Right? We want to learn to pray. We see their humility here, to ask. That's just an ask. I want to learn to pray. He says, we'll start with, say this, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Adoration.
Right.
Just God, honoring God, hallowed be holy. God, you are holy, and that's what we talked about. Just telling God who he is, encouraging him for who he is, showing adoration, thanking him for those specific qualities and characteristics, right? A reminder to us that we talked about before. Your kingdom come. We want you to reign over our lives, God.
Amen.
We want your kingdom, right? With your King Jesus, your people, your Christians, right? The boundaries you have set with your law, the word of God. We want your kingdom to come.
Amen.
Amen.
Give us each day our daily bread. Just meet our everyday needs. Jesus says, ask him, man, give us this.
Yeah.
Give us our daily bread. Meet our everyday needs. Forgive us. That's confession. Forgive us. Forgive us for our sin. As we forgive others. It's so convicting. I mean, Jesus rails against people who receive forgiveness but don't give it.
That's right.
I mean, that's one thing he does not play with. How are we doing with our forgiveness? People that have hurt us, the people we have conflict with. Then he says, lead us not not to temptation. And another scripture says, it has delivered us from evil. God, help me fight this war against temptation and sin. Please don't lead me into temptation. Not today. Jesus, please. We know the Spirit led Jesus into temptation in the desert.
Yeah. Right.
Like, just pray he doesn't. Pray no. No, not today. Deliver us from evil. Help us in our fight against sin. He goes on to say in verse 5, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. So it's at that point we put our tail between our legs and just go on about our way. Verse 8, it says, I tell you, that even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Here, take 3, 4, just leave me alone. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
Amen.
Now we learn from this story how we too can ask for the audacious. Yeah. Okay? So how do we ask for the audacious? Number one, with humility. Yeah. He saw his need. He said, I don't have the bread. He looked at his life. He looked at what he had. I just don't have it. Right? And so it just starts with saying, I don't have it. I'm poor in spirit. Whatever I need, I got to get from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got to start with humility. Number two, with confidence. Yeah. We ask for the audacious with confidence. This person had the confidence to approach his friend at midnight.
Right. Right.
He felt no guilt about waking him up. He felt no guilt about that one time his tree fell into his neighbor's yard, or how his kids may have thrown a baseball through their window. All right, he felt no guilt about maybe how he didn't have something to give his neighbor. No shame in it. It's midnight.
Yeah.
We got to make this happen. And he approaches with confidence. You know, our confidence does not come from our own good deeds.
That's right.
Our confidence comes from the love of God, his grace and his mercy, and it comes from the promises that we see in his word. If we base our confidence on us, we're always going to fall short. We're always going to be guilty souls, right? We're not going to have shameless audacity. We're going to have, like, shameful, you know, normal prayers, right? I mean, like, we're going to be shameful.
Yeah.
But who God is doesn't depend on us. It's on him.
Right.
And we got to know and have deep conviction on the promises of God that we find in his word. God loves to be taken at his word. He loves to be held to his standard. That's why he gave us that. He said, call me to this. I am a being of my word. You can trust me. Third one is, we got to be specific. This person was specific in his ask. Not one, not two, I need 3 loaves of bread. Not I need something to eat. Not I need some bread. Not I'll take whatever you have. No, he's like, listen, I got somebody coming over and we're going to need 3. He was out there like Nelly. Mr. Honey prayed for a specific type of prayer. Specific and nuanced prayers gives God an opportunity to reveal more shades of his sovereignty.
That's right.
If prayers aren't specific, then God gets robbed of the glory that he deserves. Why? Because we start second guessing whether or not he actually answered them. Is there even any way to know? know whether or not he answered those prayers. More specific, there's no question it was God.
That's right.
So stop being scared of what God has put, to share about what God has put on your heart. Someone's just scared to say it. We're dreaming big dreams by ourselves. And on top of God, man, God, if you could do this, it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But when somebody asks you, what can I pray for you about? Oh, you know, just pray for my career. Oh, just pray for my health. No, you're in there on your knees crying out to God for a specific thing. And you don't even tell why, because there's something in us that feels afraid to put it out there. And God's like, no, I want you to put it out there. I want you to live out your faith with your deeds. Stop being scared to say what God is stirring in your heart.
Amen.
Say it to God. Say it to others. Give God specific things that you want, and give people those specific things to pray about.
Amen.
Lastly, number four, we got to ask with selflessness. It was a selfless request. He wanted to serve his friends. It wasn't about him. I got people coming over, and I want to serve them.
Right.
That's what it was about. We talked about making sure that our motivation is pure before. And his neighbor said yes because of his shameless audacity. Shameless, not care what people think. Right? I got to serve my friends by any means necessary.
Yeah.
I want to do this for God, whatever it takes. Man, I want to give this to the church. I don't care what anybody says about me. I want to pursue serving in this way. But you know what? I'm going to try. I'm going to serve. I'm going to step up and do it. I don't care what anybody thinks. No, I'm going to be shameless about it. And we're willing to humble ourselves, even when it's humiliating. And that audacity. Woo! That willingness to take bold risks. Here, this word here is translated in other versions by boldness, because of the person's boldness or because of his bold persistence. Some of us, we just like being nice little polite Christians. It's nice. That's nice. I ain't gonna stir up too much. I ain't gonna do nothing great. We just want to go through our days and be nice, polite Christians. In our relationship with God, just gonna be polite, Jesus, and just play it safe. When God wants us to be bold.
Amen.
This is, look in the Bible. There are no polite Christians. Like, do you understand the adventures they went on? Do you understand who they preached to and how they preached to them? Do you understand what these prophets did as they preached God's word? You don't even want to know. I mean, if you don't know, you got to read this stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to read this stuff. Oh, I don't know if we got kids in the room. I mean, the stuff it was just out of this world. And for some reason, we settled for Americanized, nice, polite Christianity. That's not what we see in the Bible. Yes, loving. Yes, loving. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers.
Yeah.
We got to be boldly Luke 18:1, another one of my favorite scriptures. Always pray and never give up. That's what Jesus tells his disciples. I'm telling you the story because I want you to know to always pray and never give up. How simple and clear is that? Always pray and never give up. Our faith is tested when we encounter rejection.
Right.
Will we keep on asking?
Right.
You know Elijah, when he prayed for that rain, you know he had to pray 7 times? Before a cloud just as big as his fist showed up. 7 times. And we get discouraged after we say a quick prayer in the car to work about something and it doesn't happen. We gotta be persistent. God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. It helps us, it helps our faith. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't happen. I pray for my mom every single day for 7 years until she was baptized into Christ. Every single day. And you know what I told God after that? I said, God, I'm going to pray and thank you for 7 more years every day. And I still thank God to this day, just about every single day. Because man, God gives us the freedom to wear him out in prayer.
Yes.
Right.
He wants us to wear him out.
Yes.
Don't stop asking. Don't stop petitioning. Don't stop. But then when I give it to you, don't stop thanking.
Right.
Good. Then verse 9 and 10, where it talks about ask, it will be given, seek, you will find, knock, the door will be open. Everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks, the door will be open. You got to do something to get, I mean, there's something that we have to do.
Right. Yep.
I like to say what our elder Mike Patterson has said for many, many years. You have not because you ask not. He can sum up verse 9 and 10 in those simple words. You have not because you ask not. Your wife, my wife will tell you, I'll ask for a discount, quick. We had donuts on Thursday night to celebrate Easter. They had left me on hold because I was trying to order ahead of time. And I came in and they said, oh, sorry. I said, don't worry, I know you're going to take care of it. Man, I got all them donuts for like $35. I'm like, wow, this is, I walked out, he had charged me for a bunch of stuff. I'm like, you have not because you ask not. God calls us to have a childlike faith, so you know what, we can learn from our children. Yeah. And let me tell you about my youngest daughter, Ari. She's just so shamelessly audacious in her asking. And you know what she asked for? Two bourbons. Who can be more shameless or audacious than ask your parents for two birthdays? Mommy, I want two birthday parties. Like, there's no hesitation. Like, I'm just going to risk it all, right? They're going to risk rejection, and they're going to risk being falsely accused of having, like, being selfish. Why do you want two birthdays? They don't care. They're going to risk disappointment. You know, many of us started out with this childlike faith. But when God said no or not yet, we got disappointed, started questioning the will of God, the love of God, the wisdom of God.
Right.
That's true.
But a faith that honors God is the one that believes that God can do the impossible in my life. In my life. A faith that honors God identifies those seemingly impossible requests, identifies what those are, and asks God for them. A faith that honors God trusts Him enough to say, thy will be done.
Yeah.
That means we will celebrate the yeses. Yeah. We will celebrate the noes. Yeah. We will celebrate the not yes.
Right.
We're not right now. Yeah. Thy will be done means that not only will we submit to His will when it doesn't match our own will, but we will embrace it. We will embrace the process of working through our disappointment. Not just being okay with the no or not yet, or when the will is different from ours, but embracing the process of working through our disappointment as an opportunity to grow in our faith. A process that will equip us to make sure that we can keep getting out of the boat again and again and again. Showing Jesus our faith in Him. So we're stepping out of the boat, y'all. As a church, we are stepping out of the boat. We are asking God for a new home for our church family.
Yes, sir.
That's what we're asking God for. But not just a new home, a free home.
Amen.
We're asking for the audacious. And guess what? God is making things happen.
Amen.
And there is a building that we are looking at. So we went to go see the facility, a few of us at first. Then we brought the leadership team, that's the board, who's taking the lead on this, the staff, our ministers, just people in the home team that may know about buildings. And we started praying. We decided that we're going to do 21 days of fasting and prayer leading up to Easter for God to make things clear. Okay? So we prayed some very specific prayers, all right? These were our prayers. And the first one, that God will make a way for us to acquire this building debt-free and for-free. No down payment and no mortgage, no lease payments. You talk about shameless and audacious. Let me tell you, when I sent this text out to the brothers, it was hard for me to type. It was hard. I wanted to just say, God, make it clear. This is our prayer. I wanted to just say, let your will be done. But I was like, I would be disrespecting God if I don't say what I've been praying for already.
Right.
And so I put it out there. And then, if this building is not for us, that God will make it clear and show us the building that is for us so that we can have our housewarming party in 2020. The other thing we prayed about, God put it on my heart that not only do I want us as a family to celebrate with a heartwarming party in 2020, but it would be awesome if we got to celebrate housewarming for one of our single moms or a needy family and help one of our single moms or needy families get into a home and have their own housewarming party in 2020. Amen. And so I said, let's put that on the list.
Amen.
Lo and behold, this facility, part of the property, has a house on the property. The other thing that we prayed about that we'd be able to bless a single mother with a home and celebrate her housewarming in 2020. And we talked about working through Habitat for Humanity, the Ward Dunn Foundation, who does homes for the holidays every year. The third prayer was for Jamel and Julius to have successful kidney transplant. Yeah. And praise God, Julius is home recovering. Jamel went home on Friday. And for the entire Patterson family, for God to be with them as they mourn the passing of Mike's brother Lawrence, who passed away of cancer right during that time. And I'm just so grateful of how the church has just wrapped their arms around the Patterson family and even loved and served the extended family. So God has been answering our prayer. So what happened? A few days before Easter, God revealed a path to us on how we can access this building for free. Can you believe that? So we have a group of investors, and I'm sharing this with you because I want you to pray for something very specific. We have a group of investors that have expressed interest in buying this building as long as we can find a co-tenant. It's so big, we're not even going to use it all. So we've been looking for different co-tenants, different opportunities, right? And we'll buy it if you find somebody else to be in there and be able to carry that note. And so we found a prospective charter school that is interested in being in the building with us as a co-tenant, which means we would share the space. So we would have the main part, our own floor, with everything we would need, and they would use the classrooms on the first and third floor.
Amen.
So it would be completely separate from one another. Amen. And we could have access to it for free. All right. I forgot to say, I don't know if you showed the picture of where it's located. This Chapel Hill Church is in there right now. And it's off of 285 of Exit 1 Washington Road, which is one exit down from 85 South, right at that junction, right? Really close to the airport. Very accessible, right off the exit, right across the street from the exit. So very accessible for all of our members, right off the highway. And so I want y'all to pray. I don't know what the future holds, but join us in our shameless and our audacious prayer. Amen?
Amen.
So I want us to pray specifically for this charter school to be approved by the state.
Amen.
Pray specifically for this charter school to be approved by the state. We can know as early as July or as late as September. The school would open in fall 2020, so we can be celebrating our housewarming party in 2020.
And
God loves to keep his promises.
Right.
He loves answering prayers. He loves performing miracles.
Right.
He loves fulfilling dreams. That's who he is. That's what he does. And the more audacious the prayer, the greater the glory.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and pray for our community. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in humility, God, thanking you for who you are, God. We're so honored and privileged, God. We are so grateful to worship you, to know you, to have a relationship with you. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, God, you are all powerful, God. You are all knowing, God. You are amazing, incredible. You have saved us, God. You constantly pursue us, Lord. We can't figure you out, and we love that about you, Lord God. That you are so much greater than us, and even the words we use to describe you don't do you any harm. God, we love you, and we thank you, God. We thank you, first and foremost, for Jesus dying on the cross we know that we wouldn't even have access to you, to pray to you, to have a relationship with you, if it wasn't for Jesus who died, was buried, and resurrected, God. Right now, we celebrate by eating this cracker that represents the body of Jesus. We celebrate by drinking this juice that represents the blood that was shed for our sin, God. God, we celebrate in that, Father. And we pray that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God, that you will build our confidence in the amount of grace and mercy that you have for us. The way that you love us, the way that you'll do whatever it takes to have a relationship with us, God. Thank you for answering our prayers, our greatest desire to be right with you, God. We look forward to seeing you work in amazing ways, Lord God. We pray for your power, God, to be shown evident, God, through our unity and our humility and our audacious prayers, Father God, for this charter school to get approved, Lord God. God, for us to be able to acquire a building and be able to use a building 24/7 for the free, Lord God. God, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, knowing that even Elijah, who was a human being just like us, prayed and stopped the rain and then brought it back. God, help us to tap into that power that you have made available to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.